Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Rich Toll, and thanks for tuning in to my East Coast Talk for a 21st Century World. Well, we got another scorcher here today in LA. It's over 100 degrees, I think, for the fifth day in a row, and I do have my assistant producer Yasmin in the studio today.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, she really likes it hot. She comes in every day. I say, Yasmin, you get darker and darker every day you come in. What's...
I'm not even wearing makeup today because I'm too dark for my makeup.
Too dark for makeup. I mean, she gets tanner every day. Well, you sit outside for 20 minutes and forget about it. And you did say Monday, you know, you got to wear the sunscreens.
Absolutely.
Water.
Absolutely. Drink lots of water. Wear your sunscreen. Take care of yourself in the sun.
Yeah, definitely take care, especially if you're out here on the West Coast. You know, let me say thanks yesterday to our guest, acting aficionado Thomas Artivani. We're going to talk about that because both Yasmin and I have a background with acting coaches. I've had four or five myself, and I know you've had several or...
Continue. I've had a couple.
We've had a couple. So we're gonna you know, pick him apart a little bit. Didn't get a chance to do that yesterday. You know, folks, what happens is when a guest, we're bringing in guests here, and we definitely want to give them a chance to speak and all that, and the time goes pretty quickly. So, you know, I'm not really jumping in, stepping on these folks, but we will discuss the concept of acting, classes, what's it like to have a teacher, you know, how do you connect with the teachers. Talk about some good stuff. Today's also Wellness Wednesdays. We're going to continue with that theme today, and we're going to talk about, this is a pretty cool one. I did a Get Your Shit Together podcast on proper gym etiquette. So we're going to definitely talk about that. I'm a gym rat. You guys know that already. So we'll get into that. And I wanted to give a shout out to my friends in Omaha, Nebraska. Remember yesterday's, hey, if you didn't listen, go check it out. Yesterday we did the top 10. It was the 10 best U.S. cities to live in. And Omaha, Nebraska was number 2, right? Can you believe that, Yasmin?
I mean, I haven't been to Omaha. It sounds lovely.
You know, I have some very fond memories. I didn't get into this yesterday. The Heartland of America Park. You guys know that park in Omaha downtown? Beautiful. They have a 300-foot water jet fountain. Well, you know, Yasmin, I have to admit, I like that city for one reason. I can say I had sex in that park. Or maybe I shouldn't say that. I mean, is there like a statute of limitations?
No, I think you should tell that story, Rich.
Well, you know, they have 214 sunny days and super clean air in Omaha, Nebraska. This day in particular, I remember it clearly. It was, it was actually this time of year. It was early September. It was a rainy day. And you know, get a room. There's 380,000 people in that town, but hopefully they weren't on watch. But I was in that park. Everybody knows there's like these little walkways, and good thing I had on a long overcoat, a raincoat. But
you are not making the story any better by talking about an overcoat.
This is a true story. She knows who she is if she's out there. You definitely know we were just kind of wild and crazy. It was back in my... Well, this was in the 80s, so...
And that makes it okay? I'm not really...
Well, sure. You know, in the 80s, there was a lot of things that were kind of wild and crazy. I mean, hanging out at Grendel's Lair down on South Street, you know, I don't know. Does it make it any better or not?
You know how they have that phrase, you know, I'm going to save it for a rainy day? What are we saving? What do we need on a rainy day? I mean, except... Sex in a raincoat.
Yeah, what the hell are we? Yeah, sex in a raincoat kind of covers you up pretty good. She was sitting on the little kind of, I don't know, it was a little wall there.
Okay.
Anyway, we're not going to get into that, but if you've ever been to that park, it's a beautiful park, beautiful city. Go check it out. Like I said, I have some fond memories.
Fond memories of Omaha. There is a, I believe it's a song by the Counting Crows. They sing a song about Omaha.
Love it. Love that album, too. That's a great album, Counting Crows. Their first album, I believe.
It was their first album.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Omaha. Oof. Here we go. Well, let's... Oh, man. I'm already coughing up. We're going to go around the globe. You know, we like to do this. We'll get started with around the globe. You know what? Let's hold off on that. Let's get into this concept of acting. You know, before we jump right into the show, you know, we like different themes of the show. Let's Let's talk about this, because there's so many people, and I write about this in my memoir. You guys want to check it out, Simply Between Millions, From Wall Street to Hollywood. Definitely had a wild journey getting here. And when I did get started in the business, I started in 2006. I took my first acting class and didn't really understand what it was to connect with an acting coach. My first couple coaches, Susan Batson, I worked with her, Roberto Wallach was awesome. But, you know, Yasmin, your experience with the acting coaches, I mean, connecting with them, I've worked with, like I said, four or five different ones. They're all great in their own right. But, I mean, what's it take to connect with an acting coach?
I think that probably the most important thing is having an acting coach that's present. So there's a big difference between having an acting coach that is there for you or an acting coach that is there to give you a performance. And I have found that the acting coaches that work best for me are the ones that pay attention to who I am and get to the bottom of my truth rather than just putting on a show of, you know, how great they are.
How great they are.
Yeah.
You know, folks, if you've ever done any reading on it, you'll read everything from Stella Adler, who was Marlon Brando's, well, you could read all about it. There's Meisner techniques. There's a lot of different techniques out there. I studied Meisner, no doubt. Stanislavski has his own sort of way. I mean, there's a lot of different methodologies. There's a lot of new teachers out there that create their own methodologies. Our guest yesterday, he has a methodology. It's called an approach. But I think what you're saying is true. It's about every actor, everyone in and of themselves has to kind of deep down and bring themselves. It's like you got to bring yourself to the work.
Yeah, I think that it's a little bit naive to say that any one technique will work for everybody. I don't believe in that. I think that, you know, each person is an individual. We all come at the world in a totally different way. So it's foolish to say that, you know, something that works for you in acting or even in sport. I think when you try to teach someone how to make a free throw, for example, I think that you can't, you know, you and I aren't going to do it the same way. So,
or like a hitter. I mean, I was a big baseball player, so coaches, they, you know, we respond differently. But I mean, what I loved, and I found the coach, Will Wallace, he's going to be in here one of these days. He's got his own company, director as well. But I connected with Will. I've worked with a lot of great coaches, no doubt. But for some reason, this guy, Will Wallace, I never worked with Tom from yesterday, but Will made it easy for me. It somehow clicked, and I was able to sort of let go of the, because what we do is we sort of cover up. As an actor, you're asked to really go to these places deep inside that you may not want to go. We talk about how Roberto Wallach said it. It's like you got to open up the closet, and you got all these skeletons in the closet. Well, actor, you got to go in there and play in it and let people. It's very difficult at first, no doubt.
Yeah, I think, and I was telling you about this book that I'm reading at the moment called The Outliers. I believe you've read it.
Oh, Malcolm Gladwell, right?
Yeah.
I read that. He's Tipping Point. He's got a few.
Yeah, he's a great writer and a very, very interesting point of view. So in that book, there is the theory of 10,000 hours makes an expert.
Mm, right.
And I think that that's such an interesting notion. I don't necessarily know if that is something that you can apply to acting. I feel as though, because acting is about the individual, and when it comes to, say, even music, if you sit down at a piano for 10,000 hours, I can understand how that could make you an expert, so to speak, because the piano is tangible. It's in front of you. You can actually touch it, and, you know, and I think you actually touched on tangible yesterday.
I did touch on tangible. I made a reference to accounting. You know, what happens, and this is where you're going with the hours. I mean, as an actor, you're asked to bring yourself. I mean, I heard, I saw an interview, this was a while ago. Frank Langella had an interview with Charlie Rose, okay? And I remember him saying, he was asking, like, what's the trick to acting? He said, first of all, he said, you got to know your lines. You got to know what the lines are. He goes, you got to know them inside and out. You have to know why you're saying the lines, and you got to say the lines. He said, it's like, but it's totally about being present. And what happens is every one of us, each and every one of us, I talk about the snowflake. We're like snowflakes. We're all different. So as an actor, what you're doing is you're taking yourself, the core of yourself, everything inside of you. You try not to cover up. Try not to get in your head about what the character should be. It's not about that. Once you become the character, it's you're you through the character. So we're identifying with you, right? A lot of people, well, and again, talking about the concept of yesterday when I made a reference to an accountant, what I believe is, yeah, look at it this way. When you get an accounting degree, there's a high probability that you're going to get a job or there's a job out there waiting for you.
Right.
Yeah, no doubt. As an actor, how many people come here? Anybody could say they're an actor. You know, okay, great, you did a little bit of training. Well, what does that mean? you know, to, are you believable? Do people even want to see you? Stella Adler said it. Well, let me just say this. Stella Adler said it. That's a great book if you want to read. She said, acting, once an actor is in touch with himself, they know how to act, what it means to act, which is basically not acting, but we'll talk more about that. It's, she said, it's all between you and the director. Okay, everything else. And if the audience wants to see you, the audience will, they'll see you. Like, you will be, and that's what happens. People identify, people bring themselves. When you look at someone like, I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio, who I think is one of the greatest ever, hey, you just want to see this guy.
Yeah, I think that it's the whole concept of a technique working for everybody is insane. But that's just my personal opinion. I think that what's beautiful about the art of acting and any kind of art is that it's all subjective. So the thing is that I might put on something that's, you know, quote unquote, a performance that you might think is brilliant. But then the person sitting next to you will be like, oh, man, what a load of crap. So, I mean, it's art. It's subjective. And you know, that's
no
I think
doubt.
That's what's beautiful about it. So saying that, you know, someone's got a foolproof technique of how to make somebody good, I just did quotation marks in the air. And we're
yeah,
radio.
Yeah, she's got the quotations going. I see that. I see the good. Well, I mean, hey, I'm sure. And again, if you're working with any acting coach, if that coach is working for you, it doesn't matter. That's going to work for you because you have confidence in them, like
exactly.
a hitting instructor, if you believe in them. But yeah, so hey, if you're coming here, getting into the business, you think you can act, you run around your house, whatever, you put on clothes, you play other characters, that's great. But
yeah.
There's no doubt. Coming here, I do believe if you come here, you want to be honing your craft. So if you're sitting in your bedroom, you know, rehearsing lines, it's better to be in front of people. All the acting classes I went to,
yeah.
You're in front of people and you break down those walls because it's a little tricky to be in your room by yourself. Well, it's not tricky at all, but it's more tricky to be in front of people. Now, when you get in front of people, let's see if you could really drop in and you can make people feel.
Yeah, I am a big fan of the philosophy, you know, that if you think you can, you can.
Of
you
course.
Know, and it's all about the power of the mind. If you have confidence, then you are more likely to succeed. But also, you know, it's nice to be able to back up your thoughts. So rather than being this person that just says, oh, yeah, I can act. I can totally act. I don't know why I did an American accent then.
I don't know. You're acting.
That's it.
She's acting.
I'm acting, and you can do it too. You know, back it up. Go and study. You know, before you speak on anything as an aficionado, do your homework. That's all I have to say on that one.
Well, one last comment, too. I wrote this in my memoir. There's no doubt. I back in New York City early on, I was at Penny Templeton Studios. She's another great acting coach over there. She brought in an agent, female agent, first agent I ever met. I didn't have an agent at the time. I've been in the business maybe a couple months. And I remember this agent said clearly, she said, you know, what you want to do is if you're truly an actor and this is a craft you want to follow, she goes, go to the place where you want to live, right? Because we were talking the difference between L.A., New York, could you do it in St. Louis? Go to the place where you want to live, settle, and then pursue your craft. She goes, they'll find you. If it's meant to be, she said, how many A-listers pop onto the scene every year? Count them, one or two. She goes, I've been in this business. I've seen 30 A-listers come out in the last 20 years. She said, go check it out. She goes, it's not about that. It's if that's truly your path, then pursue that path and your journey will kind of unfold in front of you. I believe that.
I think that's some great advice. Don't plan your whole life around your career. Plan your life and then make your career happen after that.
Make your career happen. So, hey, if you're out there, no matter where you are, if you're in Austin, Texas, or if you're in Omaha, Nebraska, a couple cities that are choice cities to live, pursue your craft. Hey, nowadays with the Skype and all that, what he's talking about, you phone it in. I think Bradley Cooper, Silver Linings Playbook, I think that was one he auditioned, or one of the films he auditioned for on tape, and now it's everything you do it on tape and you send it in.
Yeah, I mean, have you ever seen any of the episodes of Inside the Actor's Studio?
I have seen, yeah.
Have you seen Bradley Cooper in the audience? It's rad. So
no
he
way.
Was, yeah, he,
I didn't see
he was a student at the Actor's Studio, and
no
you
kidding.
See him like put his hand up and ask questions to Bobby De Niro, and next thing you know, he's...
Yeah, they became buddies. Yeah,
yeah
he became buddies. Hey, if that's your path, there's no doubt, then stick with it. Believe in yourself. As Yasmin said, anything's possible. I believe that. I write that all the time. Anything is possible. You got to go out there and just make it happen and just keep believing and don't quit. So on that note, let's go around the globe for the latest news, strange but true. I like to start with these because they really, I get a kick out of them. We're going back to Times Square. Remember yesterday we talked New York City, Times Square. It was the Batman. Oh, no, it was Monday. We talked about Batman and Spider-Man. He said teaming up superheroes. They're beating up on this guy. Well, here's another one. Not exactly a superhero. Everyone knows the Muppet character from Sesame Street, Elmo, right? The
Tickle Me Elmo.
Yeah, funny red monster with the falsetto voice. Well, Elmo is actually a female dressed up as Elmo. Was, you know, parading around Times Square trying to get photos taken with for money. That's what they do. So they had 10. Check this out. Another incident where a customer, whatever. Let's talk about these 10 plainclothes police officers. So you got 10 guys posing, as tourists that took photos with this character played by a woman here, this Miss Rosa Sanchez, 37-year-old. And she obviously was pretty aggressive, so they ended up taking her into custody because she was demanding cash for the photos.
Wait, so was this a sting operation?
I guess because all the bullshit that's going on in Times Square. Now, Times Square has really been cleaned up, folks. I mean, I remember I moved there in the mid-90s. Forget about it. I spent New Year's Eve there one time. Oh, my God, that was frigid, and you can't really get anywhere. But Times Square is now... You know, it's a great place to visit. So I think what they're doing is they're putting these plainclothes people here to say, hey, you can't be messing around with our Times Square and all this tipping. Because tipping is not required, folks. I mean, it's not required to tip. But actually, the NYPD, they're cracking down on these performers who are demanding cash.
I don't understand. I really don't. I don't understand. I am a big fan of going down to Venice. I like to get lost amongst all the like weird
Venice
and wonderful
Beach, folks. Yeah, the strip there. Yeah,
all the weird and wonderful miscreants, and I hop
all
my,
the weird. They're all weird. You love it.
Yeah, I love it. I hop on my skateboard and just kind of.
How about the guy that wears the little the grape smuggling suit, the Muscle Beach guy?
Yeah, this is amazing, and this is what these people do day in and day
every
out.
Every day.
But you've got these people sitting there that have big signs up that say, if you want to take a photo of them, that you must tip them.
Right.
I mean, how does that work? Right. I don't get it.
Nowadays, with every phone on the planet, you could snap pictures. People are making videos, and now it's like, okay, you got to pay me. You have to pay me.
I don't understand.
Well, Venice Beach, what a kind of way out there place. It's a cool place. But I lived in Venice last summer. I went there. I had to live at the beach.
Venice is rad, no doubt.
You got to see the boardwalk there. I love it.
But, the police set up a sting operation against Elmo.
Elmo got nailed, okay? And Elmo got nailed, no pun intended. But, you know, they proposed a law. Check this out. This is kind of cool. It requires the performers to get a license so, you know, they could regulate the industry. They want to regulate. Why? Because a lot of these performers, check it out, are groping customers. So here they are, and they want money for pictures. The customers should be saying, hey, give me money for groping.
Yeah, so like they're like just touching the people, like grabbing them? Or
I'm assuming groping means they'll grab a little ass. What the hell does groping mean? I use the word grope. What happens if they're groping you? You're going to say,
definitely require at least $5.
$5? Yeah, you're shooting low. Yes, man. It's $20. Forget about it. Maybe in L.A., $5. Nobody's giving you any money.
Always selling myself short, Rich.
Oh, my God. You know, in New York, we used to throw around 20s in the strip joints like we were throwing breadcrumbs to the pigeons.
Man, what am I doing here?
Yeah, you can't be doing that. You got to be up in the stakes a little bit. Maybe 50s for you.
50s.
It's pretty hot, I would say. You're groping. All right, let's move on to, I'm calling this Super Mom. Now, this is wild. I mean, hey, I give two thumbs up to this woman. Flint, Michigan. What the hell is going on in Flint, Michigan? Police say a woman, check this out, gave birth after she and her family captured a purse snatcher in a grocery store parking lot. No, I'm kidding. Yasmin, she's putting groceries. Now, this is a pregnant woman, folks, who's going to have a baby in a couple hours. How big is she? She's putting groceries in her car yesterday, right, when an unarmed man, thank God this jackass was unarmed, he grabs her purse, runs off, so she runs after him.
Wait a minute. So he takes a purse from someone that's clearly 9 months pregnant.
9 months plus pregnant, putting groceries in her car,
right.
Steals a purse. She runs after the guy, okay, catches the guy, and he knocks her to the ground. Well, what a total jackass. Good news, two bystanders stopped the guy, right? They grabbed the guy, they returned the purse to the lady, and her family jumped in. Now, this is a 30-year-old guy, Mark Newton. Looks like he was a little beat up. I hope he was beat up from the incident, but he was arrested. Okay, after the family had to hold this guy, he tried to get away a few times, tried to run away. They held him till police arrived, and no shit, the lady gave birth that day. later Mark that day.
Mark Newton, failing at life, buddy. You are failing at failing. Life. I don't understand what could possibly be going through a guy's head where he goes, oh, look, she's super pregnant. He's just taking
easy
the opportunity.
Prey.
Yeah, easy prey.
Check it.
What is wrong with people? But good on her. I say that she definitely is super mom.
I bet you she stayed in shape. Remember our friend Troy Titus Adams stayed in really good shape during pregnancy. So
oh,
hopefully.
God.
But running after someone, you're 9 months pregnant, ready to give a baby. This jackass. How about the guy? Remember the guy who crushed up the Pop-Tart, needed 20 bucks, so he called it cocaine? There's a lot of stupid people out there.
There are no a lot doubt. Of stupid people out
no
there, Rich.
Doubt. You know, there's stupid people. My brother, shout out to my brother on the East Coast. He used to say to me, you know, that when I was a kid, he goes, you know, there's a sucker born every minute, and it's not us. So, you know, don't be a sucker. Or don't be an idiot doing stupid things, attacking pregnant women. That's absurd. I mean, this guy, hopefully they kicked his ass when he was, you know, on the
yeah.
ground. Oh, well, talk about stupid. I mean, this, I'm calling this the Nutty Pizza Man.
I don't think I want to hear this story.
Yeah, you know, I gave you the quick. I didn't give her this full story because we kind of review, you know, for the show a little bit. I like this to be a little improv, right? And yes, as soon as I said that, she goes, no.
Nope.
I don't want to hear this one. Nope. You got to tell me that on the show because I get a weird feeling where this is going. No doubt. This place takes place in Texas near Austin, right? Our number one city, best city to live in, Austin, Texas.
I'm okay. getting the feeling that they don't have the best pizza.
Well, I think you got to ask yourself, does my pizza taste a little nutty?
I mean,
no. I read this and I'm thinking, another picture. These people, when you look at the pictures of these people that do this shit, they look deranged to me. I mean, I'm telling you, these kids, this is an 18-year-old teenager, okay, who's employed at a Papa Murphy's pizza franchise. Have you ever been to a Papa?
I've never heard of Papa Murphy's. But I don't really eat pizza.
I know Papa John's. But it's not. It's Papa Murphy's pizza franchise. This 18-year-old faces criminal charges, okay, after a customer caught him, this is a quote, in the act of rubbing his scrotum on an uncooked stuffed crust Hawaiian pizza that he ordered.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Mm. Here's what we're talking about. A kid named Austin Simmons.
Austin Simmons, yeah, from Austin, right? Texas.
From Austin, Texas. Oh, my God. This to me, okay. Okay, the customer asked the guy. No shit. The customer asked the kid how old he was, and the kid said he was 18. Customer says, so, you're old enough to know better than to put your balls on someone else's pizza. The guy goes, yes, I'm really sorry. That was stupid. What do you mean that was stupid? Hey, jackass, Mr. Simmons. You know, and he was upset. You know, yeah, he's upset that the guy comes in right before closing time. I mean, this is absurd, people. This kid, I mean, what do you do with this kid?
I think, you know what? I think this whole, like, putting penises and scrotums, you know, on
talk about
food,
pee, right?
It all started with the movie American Pie. That's what I think.
Well,
I
wait a minute. What about Diner in 1982 when they had the pizza through the pop? Well,
the
you're too young
the
for
penis
that.
Penis in the popcorn. No, I
penis
know
penis in the pop. Remember Mickey Rourke and Eric Roberts? What a great movie.
I just think that, you know, American it's Pie crazy. Put his penis in the pie, and it started this whole thing of I'm just going to put my penis on things. You were telling me something about Subway.
Well, Subway, yeah, there's been these fast food incidents. Yeah, this happened, I think it was about a year ago. Subway employee admitted putting his penis on the sandwich bread, and he posted a picture on Instagram. I mean,
I wonder what the hashtag was for that.
Yeah. Penis envy? I don't know.
Penis sandwich?
Penis sandwich? I mean, listen, guys out there, you know, I did a whole episode, another Get Your Shit Together episode, Don't Be a Creep. Oh, wait to hear that story.
So don't be a creep. Don't put your penis in the popcorn. Because
you shouldn't be whipping your penis out and showing it around. No.
No,
not
it's, good. It's never okay.
No.
So for you guys that think it's funny, there's in Australia, we've got this thing. See, I'm laughing, but it's not funny.
You got this thing? Is it like a penis thing?
No, there was a, do you remember the show Big Brother? Do you still have Big Brother
sure.
in the United States?
I think it's, well, they've done it in different countries.
Right, so it's been Big Brother all over the world. So we had Big Brother, and there was a episode where one of the contestants, I guess that's what you'd call them, whipped out his penis and slapped someone, and I believe it was a girl. He slapped her with his penis on her forehead, like, and they call it a turkey slap.
A turkey slap. What is that, like a porn thing?
I don't know. But what, like, what's this fascination with men, like, pulling out their penises and putting it places? I don't understand. I don't pull out my breast and put it places.
I don't, well, I think like if you did, sandwich? I mean, it'd be a whole different story. But a breast sandwich, I mean, what about the, well, this is insane. No, it's insane. Remember the breast from yesterday, the kooky game? Remember the kooky... squeezing the breast and the girls wincing and all the eyes.
Why did they have to make it that she was like looking like she didn't enjoy it?
I don't.
There's something weird about.
There's
that.
A lot of strangeness going on. Yeah. I don't know what kids these days. I mean, you got to check out this, folks. If you want to hear really crazy, go to episode 14 of my Get Your Shit Together podcast. Yasmin, I don't know if you heard this one, but this is true. This is a friend of mine went on a date with this guy that she met at one of the studios. Nice guy, whatever. She was an actor. Yeah, you'll go check it out, but this is no kidding. This guy on a first date, okay, takes her back to his place. It was like a quick stopover. None like the ones I used to do. At least I take him to the diner as the waiting room, remember?
The waiting room.
But no, this guy, he comes out of the bathroom, goes into the bathroom. You gotta hear this. He goes into the bathroom, and he comes out, okay, with his penis wrapped, I'm not kidding you, with a baggie or with a rubber band.
Oh, no. Like saran wrap or something?
Like a little sandwich baggie, and then he starts laughing, and she's like, what the? And she's like, well, I didn't think you'd have sex with me if I didn't. I didn't have any condoms, so I used the baggie. Guy, this is a young guy, wraps his, what the hell is going on? This happened to my friend. What would you do if a guy walks out of the freaking bathroom?
What I just did just then, I would wet myself laughing. Yeah. A, you presumptuous little so-and-so. Like, what makes you think I was going to have sex with you in the first place? But B, I can't. I think
he fell a little short of the, you know, she had to say no. Anyway, no, yeah. That's true. Go check it out. We're going to have a Get Your Shit Together award. We do that every day.
Penis in the sandwich bag. I just think that, do you think that would work on anyone? Do you think that there would be a woman that would be like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea?
I think the only thing that's working for is if you're paying for it. You know, you plop down $300, she's going to go, well, I guess this is what gets this guy's rocks off.
Yep, the penis in the bag.
I guess so. Well, it's all nonsense, but this one is a little bit kind of nonsensical, too. It's kind of interesting. I watched this video on the internet today. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with this lady, but I'm calling this What the Fark Barbie. All right. This takes place across the pond over there in the UK in North Wales, right? A mom, now this is true, 25-year-old mom, Talina Woods, recently purchased, it's a Life in the Dreamhouse talking Barbie doll, right? For her daughter, Demelie's her daughter, right? The toy is supposed to say lots of stuff. I think it's like 10 or 15 phrases that's taken from Barbie's, the popular web series, Life in the Dreamhouse, right? It's supposed to say things like, to the salon, or I love a makeover, or, you know, kind of simple things, right?
Really insightful.
Right, really insightful things for a little kid. So the mom, 2 days into it with the doll, she says to the you know, hears this, and she hears it says, what the fark, but not fark, right? You know, trying not to use that word, throw that word around, but everybody knows what we're talking about. What the F? That's what the doll's supposed to be saying. Now, some say, and I listened to this myself, that you could sort of hear it saying off the hook. So Barbie is saying off the hook, but it kind of has this weird sound that it says like, what the fuck? I mean, that's kind of what it sounds like.
I mean, why is Barbie saying off the hook?
That's another thing. What is that, like a cool phrase? We got Barbie's like a hipster Barbie? Like,
yeah, off man.
Off the hook.
Barbie, like, what's that? Off the hook. What? Why is she off the hook? What hook
is she
off?
Yeah, man, it's really cool. Yeah. She's off the hook. I don't know.
I don't know how street Barbie is. And I don't even know if off the hook is a street phrase anymore. I feel like that's from the 90s.
Yeah, I think it is from the 90s. And this lady, by the way, she tries to go back and return the toy, right? But she didn't have a receipt, so they said no. Like, it's all nonsense. Lady, you know, if it's... maybe you should be able to delete the phrase. Maybe you could delete... But anyway, now the good news is, well... Yeah, I don't know what the good news is, but she's taken up with Mattel. Now, Mattel, how big is Mattel? Toy company, right? And Mattel, I mean, they do, in the toy, there is an option that allows people to record their own messages. So,
well, so maybe someone in the warehouse just thought they'd get a little creative.
Now we're talking someone in Mattel's warehouse is getting creative. Well, just I don't know. That messages. Would be pretty wild, right?
Right.
All the crazy shit that wouldn't surprise us.
I would enjoy that. I would leave, like... you know, super feminist messages in Barbie. Have Barbie be like, damn the man.
There you go. It beats whipping out your breasts or penises. It's whapping them around. Well, I don't know what the Barbie story here, but you go check it out. To me, it sounds like she's saying off the hook, but I guess you could, you know, if you're a little distorted in your mind, thinking it says something different.
Well, so either way, what's happening is now this woman is taking Mattel to court. Excellent.
Yeah, well, good luck with that, honey.
Yeah.
Why people, you know, there's a sucker born every minute, right? Well, here we go. Number five. This one actually is not a happy. Well, I don't know what to think of this one. I read this one. I had mixed emotions. I'm calling this sweatshirt is the new red, right? Check this out. This is Urban Outfitters, big company. Everybody knows Urban Outfitters, right? Kind of edgy. Well, I think they're trying to be edgy. Yes. Are they tasteful in this regard? No. I'm going a little too far, I think, or that's what people are saying, because the store, check it out, offered a one-of-a-kind Kent State University. Are people familiar with Kent State in Ohio? Sweatshirt that's splattered with red coloring, kind of assimilating to blood, for $129. Now, what are we talking about? For those of you who weren't around in 1970, I was around in 1970, and I remember this. In 1970, there was a killing of four students that were protesting the Vietnam War. They were killed by the Army National Guard that came in over there at the Ohio school, Kent State University. And anybody knows Neil Young, right? One of the greatest of all time. Neil Young has a song called Ohio, right? Tin soldiers and Nixon coming. We're finally on our own. This summer I hear the drumming, four dead in Ohio. And that's what he's talking about. The students were killed. It was also the time of the movie Billy Jack, if you remember that.
I do not.
Ooh, Tom McLaughlin. That's another oldie but goodie. But now this is sad, because what's really going on? Is it tactless? I mean, the garment?
This is definitely not the first time that Urban Outfitters has come into the spotlight for potentially tasteless and tacky attire. Sophia Bush, the actress, I'm actually quite a fan of hers. I think that she's pretty rad. She's famous for being on One Tree Hill. And she's currently on Chicago PD. She recently tweeted in protest against Urban Outfitters because they released a tank top for women that says, eat less.
Yeah, like promote anorexia, right?
Yeah, that's a great idea, isn't it?
Considering eat less.
That's not a serious illness.
That's interesting.
You know, eat less, be skinny. I mean, that's such a non-positive message. It actually makes me quite mad. So I personally have no interest in Urban Outfitters or anything that they have to produce. That's what I say.
Well, they did post an apology, no doubt, but you're right. They've made reference to the Holocaust. Yeah, it's like they did racial stereotype, but they got a shirt that says Irish, I'm drunk, or, you know, kind of talking about Irish addiction.
Yeah.
They do a lot of stuff here.
I just think the thing is, it's very easy to apologize. What's that famous saying? They say, I would rather ask for forgiveness than permission. And I feel as though that's what they do. They constantly push the envelope. They, you know, release tacky clothing. And then they say, oh, we're sorry.
After we sold out $129.
Exactly.
Sure. Yeah, Kent State did say, we take a great offense to a company using our pain for their publicity and profit.
I take offense too.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely say it trivializes the loss of life. There was a really a tough time, no doubt. So this is kind of strange. You got to go take a look at that shirt, though. It's kind of like, kind of eerie.
Also, my next question is, who wants to buy a shirt that looks like it's splattered in blood for $129.95?
The 18-year-old working at the frickin' pizza joint, jackass. That guy, he's going to wear it and he goes to jail, and guess what? It's going to be real blood. Somebody beats the crap out of him because who wants anything in their food?
Yep, that's it.
You know,
people,
you got to get your shit together out there. You really do. I mean, this is stupid stuff. I mean, and then you're supporting it. I mean, Yasmin, you got to make a good point. Now the guy's buying it, selling out. $129 sweatshirt. I mean, I don't know where you buy them.
I just think that it's insane to me that people think that, you know, there's a certain subculture of people, whether it be hipsters or whatever, that are looking at that going, oh, man, that's really cool. Remember,
that's really rad.
Yeah, that's reflecting blah, 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 and the juxtaposition of blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, it's not. It's just disrespecting the lives of four humans, basically.
Yeah, so go research that. If you're new, if you're young and you have not been around 1970, go research and take a look at what we had to go through. That was a tough time.
And actually, that brings up something else that makes me mad. God, there's a lot of stuff that makes me mad, Rich. But
Well, you're venting.
I'm venting. This is brilliant. I get to vent to you.
On the air and to help the millions of people. You know, not yet, but maybe.
There's this kind of trend of younger people wearing, say, you know, a Nirvana t-shirt or a Rolling Stones t-shirt. Now, I'm a big fan of the Rolling Stones, massive fan, and I do wear a Rolling Stones t-shirt, and I wear it proudly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you were to walk up to me and say, hey, Rolling Stones, what's your favorite Stones song? Within 2 seconds, I'd be like, Sympathy for the Devil. You know, like, I love the Stones.
Of course.
So I'm seeing 14-year-olds walking around wearing Nirvana t-shirts. Now, I was 14 when Nirvana was kind of prominent. And I can guarantee you that these kids don't know a Nirvana song. No. Or a Rolling Stones song.
They don't know who Kurt Cobain is.
Yeah, no. So the thing is that what are you doing? You're wearing things on your person and promoting them because society's saying it's cool, because it's fashionable, not because you believe in it. And I think that's a problem. And I know that I'm just talking about fashion and a band, but I think that goes to speak about society following trends instead of thinking for yourself.
Think for yourself and be yourself. Be unique.
Yep, be unique.
Be unique.
Don't be a sheep.
Yeah, don't be sheep. I remember reading a story about Missy Elliott. I love Missy Elliott back in the day. Missy Elliott, I remember a story saying she used to wear two different color sneakers. You know, Chuck Taylors are big then. She used to wear it. She didn't give a shit. I think she wrote Madonna or someone else a letter like every day for like, I don't know, a year straight. I
mean,
she
really?
No, she did. She's done some things to get... But I remember she said she was always different, like was herself. And in those days, yeah, that was a little wacky when you're wearing two different shoes. But hey, she did. And you got to be yourself out there. And Yasmin's right. If you're wearing something, if you're promoting something, you should at least know what the hell's behind it.
Exactly.
Yeah, go check it out.
Just be informed.
Just be informed. And moving on to our Get Your Shit Together award. We actually have an award, and then we have a, I guess, a consolation prize here, which is another kind of wacky story. But here we go. Get Your Shit Together. Everybody knows we got to Get Your Shit Together award for the person, company, whatever. And this actually goes to a group called customers. They're infuriated. And why are these customers, and I'm giving the award to all these customers, who's infuriated, because that's all bullshit, by the Hotel Behemoth Marriott. Now, I don't know if you read this news, but Marriott, who raked in about $13 billion in revenue last year, they want its guests to cough up, this is in the article, want its guests to cough up a little more cash to help pay its hotel maids. But really, what are they saying? They teamed up. Now, this I like. They teamed up with TV anchor and activist Maria Shriver to launch a campaign called The Envelope, Please. And what they're doing is they're going to be putting in envelopes in 160,000 Marriott rooms across the U.S. and Canada, requesting, and it's not really requesting, but they're requesting guests to tip the hotel's cleaning staff. And this is what the envelope says. Our caring room attendants enjoyed making your stay warm and comfortable. Please feel free to leave a gratuity to express your appreciation for their efforts.
I'm not seeing a problem so far.
I don't see a problem at all because, first of all, these maids, and this is by a union-backed group called Hotel Workers Rising, said that these maids have a 40% higher injury rate than others in the service sector. And Marriott does say that they keep the wages above minimum wage, but still, folks, okay, you got these people, anybody who stays in a hotel, I don't care if it's the, you know, around the corner, little Joe Schmo hotel, it doesn't really matter, but these people are serving you. It's like a server. What does it take to tip somebody? Couple nights, couple dollars, $5, whatever it is. If you're staying there for a week, depends on how long you stay. You stay for one day. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, my father used to always do that. I mean, we didn't always have, there's no envelope, so we'd kind of put the money under the Bible, and used to keep Bibles out. But what is wrong with that? Why are people infuriated? That makes no sense to me.
I'm infuriated now, Rich. what makes someone that carries a plate of food over to you more entitled to a tip than someone that cleans your toilet?
I'm cleaning a lot more than toilets. Yeah. Shit that people do in these rooms, towels.
People tear up those hotel rooms, and those people are literally putting their hands in filth. So, I mean, I say don't tip the waitress, tip the cleaner.
Well, I say you got to tip them both. And I did that. Get Your Shit Together. The Lost Art of Tipping is number three. You got to go listen to that one. People don't tip. Hey, what does it take? Okay, you thinking, oh, well, the hotel should pay these maids. But the maid, they're being nice to you, right? Maybe you ask for the extra towel. Speaking of which, one of the funniest movies, I think, of all time, right? Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, you remember the scene? John, they're in the hotel room together. They sleep together. John Candy It's Steve Martin. I mean, if you haven't seen this movie, it's a great movie around the holidays. Takes place around Thanksgiving. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Well, he's in the bathroom, and you got to see this scene when John Candy, he used up everything, every towel, everything, total mess. And when he gets out, Steve Martin gets out of the shower. I just laugh thinking about it. He picks up what he thinks is a towel, a little towel, when it's not. Oh, you got to watch this movie.
I don't remember this
scene. You don't remember that scene when it was his underwear? He's like, why should his pants? Every time I think of that movie, there's two movies out there. My Cousin Vinny, I'm digressing a bit, but whenever we go, when he says, these utes, when he calls, when Joe Pesci calls the kids utes, he goes, what's a ute? Oh, my God, it's the same. Whenever I see that scene when he's in bed and he goes, where's your hand? He said, between two pillows. He goes, they're not pillows. Steve Martin jumps out of bed. It's an amazing movie. So, hey, people, check it out. I'm giving your Get Your Shit Together award for anybody who's infuriated by this Marriott, great company out there with beautiful rooms all over the country and Canada, of course, that is saying, okay, here's a little envelope. Could you maybe please tip? What's wrong with that? You don't have to put money in the envelope, people. Don't get infuriated by they're trying to pass money back. And if you're a person who has a few extra dollars, remember what you're doing by tipping someone. You're putting money back into the economy. You're helping people feed themselves. Amen. You're putting it back. It just gets recycled. Cash is just something that gets recycled. You have it temporarily. Okay, great. You earn it, whatever. It doesn't matter how much money you earn. You're putting it back into the system. That's how we work. It's a circular system, people. You got to get your shit together.
I just think it's a stupid thing to get infuriated about.
It's ridiculous. I do think that's ridiculous. It's like, why even? Well, talk about getting infuriated. This one I have to go with the, well, it's a consolation. It involves Joan Rivers, and this is a sad one. I mean, I love Joan Rivers. I mean, there's no doubt she inspired me. Well, let's get into it real quick. This is quick. We'll move on. Okay. A personal doctor of Joan Rivers. Now, I just read this. I'm assuming it's accurate. Took a selfie in the operating room while he was performing an unauthorized throat biopsy during a procedure that led to her death.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, this is this Dr. Lawrence B. Cohen, okay? He's been forced out of his position on the board.
He should be in jail.
Yeah, talk about getting your shit together. He was forced out. He's on the board of Manhattan's Yorkville Endoscopy Clinic, and he's no longer there, or he's no longer practicing there, as well as he left his private practice group called the New York Gastroenterology Associates. I don't know what to think about this one, but what we do know is Joan went to the Yorkville Endoscopy for a routine procedure when complications arose. She was rushed to Mount Sinai Hospital, where she died on September 4th. You remember, you came in and gave me that piece of paper when she died that morning.
And yeah.
The cause of death is unclear. I guess still they needed to run more tests, but I don't know. What is the deal with these selfies, people? That's absurd.
I think this is the second one in a row that we've spoken about someone taking a selfie with either a corpse or you know, now taking a selfie. So he's performing an unauthorized operation, and he's like, hold on a minute, I'm doing something illegal, let me just take a picture to memorize, unconscious thing.
It makes, that's ridiculous. Yeah, how about the guy holding up the dead man? Remember the guy with the dead man? People, what are you? How stupid can you be? I mean, you know that any type of picture nowadays, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's like, it's out there.
It's also, it's just, what's wrong with you? Why do you want to take a picture of that? I mean, I like to take pictures of puppies. They're cute. You know, this is not exactly taking a picture of, you know, God rest her soul, Joan Rivers, while she's undergoing an operation. That's just sick. It's sick. Get help, please.
No doubt. So I don't know if it's...
Or disappear. We should put all these people on an island.
You got that right.
It's going to have to be a big island. But put them all
it's
on an island.
It's got to be a big island, right. Yeah. And nothing can reach that island. Gilligan's Island. Yeah. You can't get off it.
Gilligan was a good kind of dude.
He was a good dude.
Let's bring back Gilligan and put all these weird, sick people on Gilligan's Island. That's it. I've solved all the problems of the world.
I don't know. Getting into sickness, I don't know what to say on that. But we are going to move ahead. We're going to move ahead because it's Wellness Wednesday. We're just going to spend about 4 or 5 minutes on this, and we're going to wrap up the show. Amazing how quick it goes. Kind of like having her on the show. I don't know. What do you guys think? Having Yasmin, you know, we have a little conversation here. I mean, it's sometimes these guests go on and on, you know, like they kind of like to hear themselves. So I'd rather interact with you here. No, we have some great guests planned for today. By the way, what do you see Friday? Friday, it's usually Acoustic Fridays, but Jen Kober, she's hilarious. She's
I'm
a comic.
For
Wait
that.
Do you see her? I'm giving a shout out to Jen. I hope she's listening today. She's way do you see this? So we're bringing in a comedian, top notch. She's going to be at the Comedy Store this weekend, but I can't wait for that. But we definitely bring some great guests on. So check us out the rest of the week, Friday, but Friday too. So here we go. Let's talk about this because that's another one. I guess this theme's got to be the Get Your Shit Together podcast that I did. This one is number 6. I came out of the gate with this. It's called Proper Gym Etiquette. And I don't think you've heard these, Yasmin. We're going to get, because most people don't have their shit together when they're in the gym.
I 100% agree with you. And I wonder if you have some of the same opinions I do.
Well, I'm sure I do, because again, we start with respect. Everything is about, when I talk about health and fitness, people, and there's no bullshit here. And I read everything. I read all this, the crazy diet fads to what you should be doing to work out and blah, 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 how to keep you looking young, fit, whatever. Hey, just do what I do. Work out every day. It's real simple. You wake up, you sleep 6-7 hours a day, you add another hour to it. It's only 4% of your life. Do it and be respectful. Because first of all, being in the gym, you got to be respectful of the equipment and the people. Because the equipment can hurt you. I talk about this. First of all, you got to treat the gym like a library. Love the library. You go in there. So if you take a book off the shelf, right? You go sit down, you're quiet, you read, you put the book back where it goes. So if you take the weights off the rack, put the weights back. Don't be a jackass and leave shit around, right? Waiting for somebody who works there to come clean it up after you. No, people do that all the time.
I hate that.
These chuckleheads don't know what they're doing. That bothers me the most. I mean, hey, if I sit down onto some machine that has weights pre-existing and okay, I add more to it, I still take them all down. I don't just take it back to where this jackass left it before me. So first thing you got to do is have respect. Equipment and other people.
Yeah.
Because people are there to work out. To me, it's a moving meditation. You know, what are you bothering them for? It's like going to the movie theater, right? You're talking, people texting. I love all these pre-shows where they're saying, stop texting people. It's the same thing in the gym, right? Let's start with that. Now, why am I an authority? Yeah, you talked about 10,000 hours. I've spent more than 12,000 hours in gyms over the years. Worked out with some of the best in the business. My good buddy, Donnie Pamucci. Give a shout out to Donnie. Donnie's Mr. New Jersey. When I was like 20 years old, I was working out with Phil Hill. He had the best legs in the business in the 80s. Joe Dodd, Mr. Champion. There's so many champions I worked with. So I had a really good foundation. But what these guys taught me was you treat this with respect, right? This is like the library. This is like a church or like the ocean. Because you go into the ocean not paying attention, that ocean's going to hurt you. So pay attention, people. But here we go. I'm just going to go down the list of things that you should not be doing in the gym. You got to get your shit together on this. And if you don't know what you're doing, hire a personal trainer. No doubt. It's like an acting coach, right? It's someone who's going to guide you and is going to teach you. They're going to teach you what to do, how to be effective. Got to do this.
I think even if you say you can't afford a personal trainer, just reach out to people. Go to the people at the front desk. Everyone in the gym is there for the same reason. So, you know, if you don't know how to use a piece of equipment, just go and ask.
Ask the question. And you can ask people. I do say this. People really aren't there. We're not there to really, you know, talk and help everybody else. But everybody's polite. You're polite. You ask somebody to help you with something. I do it all the time. I saw a woman the other day. She was locking out her knees when she's standing there doing dumbbell curls. I walked over there. I said, honey, try it this way. I said, kind of, you know, it's like almost like a chair pose. Bend your knees a little bit. You don't lock out your knees and do it that way. Okay? So people will help you. Yasmin, you're right. Ask for help. But when you're finished with the equipment, take it back. Don't drop the weights. Don't throw the weights around.
And wipe it down.
Wipe it. Oh, my God. That's on this list for sure. If you sweat, forget about it. You got to carry a towel. Got to wipe it down. The most disgusting thing could be for the person after you to sit down and it's like, ugh, you don't even want to go there. And then everybody, it sends a whole image to the place. Hey, I'm not a person who sweats a lot in the gym. But if you do, you got to carry a towel. And if you smell, forget about it. You got to change your shirt. Change your shirt several times.
I mean, I think it should go without saying in today's society that people should wear deodorant, but it doesn't.
you know, what people should do and what they do. You got to treat this like your home, right? You want to be respectful if you smell, whatever. No creeps. Hey, guys, you're staring at a woman's ass. She knows you're staring at the ass. She's looking in the mirror, passing through. She gets it. Everybody knows it. No gawking, you know, hitting on women. Forget about that.
Yeah, please don't hit on women while they're working out. We're sweating. We're already really not that comfortable as it is. It's not the right time. Like, while I'm, like, in a deep stretch, coming up to me and asking me out, it's you know,
don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. You want to build a friendship. You're friendly. Go listen to this. I mean, you'll see how it takes months for me to sometimes talk to someone. And then you start talking. You become friends. It's a nice hello. You know, don't be bothering people. And it's the same thing. When someone's working out with a piece of equipment, use these words. Can I work in or can I work through? Work in means, yeah, I want to work kind of with you. If that person looks like they're doing 10 sets, you can work in. Most people say, okay. Work through. This happened to me this morning. I just wanted to do one set because I bounce around. I'm not kind of restrict with my workouts. I'm doing whatever feels good that day. So I wanted to just bang out this one set. The guy wasn't on the equipment, but I could tell he was getting ready to use it. And I said, no, I'm working through. Boom. Pass him right through. Hit it and go. No talking, people. Texting, talking. Now all the days with the selfies and all that bullshit. Yeah. That's getting out of hand, too.
Do you know the one thing I don't want to hear when I'm on the treadmill? Is someone else talking?
Oh, forget, right?
It's like, come on, I'm struggling as it is. You know, and also, if you can talk, you're not working out hard enough.
Work out. You're there for a reason. Be serious about it. It's no bullshit, people. There's no doubt. Many years of doing this, you got to get a strong body, clear mind. No doubt. It makes you look younger. No doubt. And lastly, guys, no circle jerks out there. I call them the circle jerks.
What's that?
The circle jerks is when you got three or four bozos, I call them chuckleheads, that don't know what they're doing. They're mostly young guys standing around talking to each other about what they're going to do. Yeah, they're like circle jerking, but they're not working out.
They're posing.
They're posing, and right. They get in the way. And they think, like, who knows whether they're talking about somebody. You know, you got to get your shit together. So there you go. That's our show. Hey, how about that? It goes super, super quick. I don't know. Did you just hear
all
a bell?
Done. Yeah.
I just heard a bell.
Some people talking to us on Twitter.
We got some people talking to us. Oh, I love it. I love it. So, hey, listen, folks. That's our show for today. I had a real fun time today with Yasmin, right?
It's always a pleasure, Rich. It's
always a pleasure. And got to get your shit together no matter what it is. Stay focused in the gym, of course. Check us out the rest of this week. We got some good shows. Tomorrow we have... your buddy's coming in, right? We're going to play a little music.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds. He's an amazing jazz stand-up bassist.
Well, he's coming in tomorrow. We got Jen, comedian, great comedian on Friday. So check it out. You want to learn more about me, you know where to find me at richtola.com because I'm Rich Tola. And remember, dreams do come true. But hey, what do I know?
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.